Okay, on the line here is Travis Miller.
And Jimmy V.
And we are fortunate enough to have with us on the line Martin Howie. Say hello, Martin.
Hello, glad to be with you guys.
Now, Martin is the author of a couple of great books here, Thump Your Competition, Time-Tested and Proven Strategies, Solutions, and Systems for Creating Massive Profit Increases for Any Business, and Achieving Breakthrough Business Success, Your Step-by-Step Action Guide for Dramatic Business Growth. Now, Martin, Jim and I have both been through your books here and have frankly been shocked by the amount of information contained inside of these pages.
And well, thank you very much.
When and you know, in other phone conversations we've had leading up to this mini seminar here, the information you've shared with us has been quite frankly so impactful and powerful that we felt very compelled to, you know, to get you on the line so that our members, our members could have access to the information that's inside of your brain. I think that it would be a disservice of us not to let you connect with them. So I want to tell you ahead of time that we're very thankful and grateful that you've chosen to spend your time with us. I know how valuable your time is, and just want to tell you thank you ahead of time before we get started here.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, Martin, what I thought we could talk about here is the concept of, because I really love this concept, achieving breakthrough business success. And, you know, you've got, oh my goodness, in the table of contents, we've got probably 200 ideas in here. What I'd like to do is pick out a couple, three or five or so, and, you know, ideas, strategies, simple things that a business owner or an entrepreneur could do, could implement, could plug in immediately into their business to begin accomplishing and achieving their own breakthrough business success.
That's
Does that
fine.
Sound doable?
Wherever you'd like to go, we'll just go.
Great. Well, Martin, I know that you train consultants all around the world, having been a long-time successful consultant yourself. So now you are the consultant's consultant. And I'm curious, when you are teaching people how to teach other people how to grow their businesses, what is the first thing that you would suggest that they do to help a business owner begin achieving this breakthrough success that you talk about in the book? You know, what can we boil down to? What are the most important concepts? What's the first thing you would help someone or suggest someone to do?
Well, the first thing is, before you can help anybody, you have to find out what their challenges, what their problems, and what the obstacles are that they're facing in the business. Just like if you go to a doctor would never think of prescribing some type of medication for you unless he first found out what the problem was so they could treat that properly. And so what we do is we teach our consultants to go into a business and sit down with the business owner and find out what the major problems are in that business, or at least what are the problems and the challenges that are holding them back from reaching their potential, the financial potential or their efficiency potential or whatever it might be in that business. What we really look for are, what are the things that keep that business owner awake at night? What are the challenges that he has? If he had a magic wand and could wave that over his business and change something to make it more of what he wanted, either financially or efficiently or effectiveness-wise, what would that be? And once we identify that, then we can go to work on solving those kinds of problems. But unless and until we find out what those challenges are, there's no sense even trying to offer any kind of a solution.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor will say that a prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. You'd never prescribe a medication without finding what the challenges or the problem for the illness is. And so the same way in a business. Too many business consultants or marketing consultants go into a business and they'll say, well, let's see what we can do to help you. And they immediately put together, well, let's construct a USP, or let's put together a marketing plan, or let's do something about getting more business out of each customer or client that comes in, when that might not even be the problem at all. What we do is we look for the ways that we can create the greatest amount of profits, if that's what they're looking for, profits, or the greatest amount of efficiency, or the greatest amount of effectiveness, or the greatest amount of margins, or whatever area that we're looking for. How can we create the greatest amount of those things in the shortest time and with the least amount of human and capital expenditure?
How do you find that business owners are usually able to, how do you find that they usually respond to a question about their needs? Do they typically understand what their problems are and where the improvement needs to come from?
Most of them don't. Most of them think that they know where the problems are. But until you start getting into an actual in-depth look at their business, you'll never find those things out. For instance, our consultants use a 40-page confidential business audit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll sit down with that business owner and go through 40 pages of material, questions, in-depth questions about various phases of the business, various things that are going on in the business. Many times, a business owner looks at it and says, well, in fact, if you were to ask most business owners, what would you like more of? They'll just tell you, I'd like to have more clients, more
mm-hmm.
customers. And that may or may not be the thing that they really need. It may be what they think they want, but it may not be what they need. Let me give you an example. Let's say that a business gets more customers or more clients. Well, more customers or clients will probably most definitely generate more income, more revenue. But that revenue, that increased revenue, may not translate into greater profits. For instance, if it costs you more to acquire a customer than you're going to make on that customer, then that increased revenue may cost you more to generate than you'll earn in profits.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of factors that we need to consider, and getting more customers is just one of them. So it's a matter of really sitting down with the business owner and asking that business owner questions that they've never asked themselves or questions that nobody else has ever asked them. And once you start doing that, then you start uncovering the real problems of the business.
Since most of the people listening to this, unfortunately, will probably not have a chance to sit down with you, what kind of advice can we give to people to, let's say, self-diagnose their problems? You know, so a company is looking for growth. What can they do to find out where they can, what the best way to achieve that growth is?
Well, the first thing I would do in that situation would be to try to determine what the lifetime profit value of my client or my customer is. In other words, how much money do they spend with me when they purchase from me, on average? Now, some will spend a little bit and some will spend a lot. But I would look at how much money, on average, does a client spend with me? How many times a year do they purchase from me? And how often or how long do they stay with me? How many years do they stay with me before they leave to do something else or they move away or they quit? That would be the first thing that I would do. Because once I understand that, once I understand what the value of a customer is, the profit value, not the gross revenue, but the profit value, once I understand that, then I know two important things. First of all, I know how much I can spend to acquire a new customer. And secondly, I know how much I can spend to continue to have that business continue to do business with me, to keep them coming back over and over and over. So, for instance, let's suppose that we run an ad, that you have a business and I have a business, and it's the same kind of business, and we both run an ad. And let's say that ad costs us $1,000 to run. And let's say that we both generate two brand new customers. And those brand new customers then are responsible for every time they purchase from us, they spend $200 with us. Now, let's say that those two customers, you get those two customers, and you say, well, I'm not going to run that ad again because I only made $400 and the ad cost me $1,000. But I look at that situation and I say, well, okay, they spent $200 with me. But those two customers now are going to buy from me four times during the year. So that's $800 per customer times the two customers. I just made $1,600. Now, obviously, you can't continue to run the same ad over and over and over and lose money on every ad that you run unless you know what the lifetime value of a customer is. So when you look at it and pull out of the market, you no longer run the ad. But I look at it and say, well, all right, he's pulled out of the market. That's one less competitor for me. So by knowing the lifetime value of the customer, I know whether or not I can afford to run that ad. Now, again, you might not be able to run that ad over and over and over because you have such things as cash flow that are going to limit how many times you can run that. But if you set aside a little bit of money every time, then eventually you'll be able to fund those ads on a long-term basis.
Well, I guess that would that would require that you actually can run an ad and know the results that you got from that ad.
Well, absolutely. And one of the downfalls of most business owners is they have no way to measure, monitor, or track the ads that they're running, referrals that they're asking for, mm-hmm. any of the marketing events that they put on, or the promotions.
Why do you think that is? Is that because we're afraid to know the answers, or is it because we don't know how to do it, or laziness? What causes most business owners to do this?
Everything that you just said. A lot of business owners don't know that they're supposed to do that. They've never been taught how to do it. It's too much trouble to put something like that together. They've listened to the Yellow Pages representative or the newspaper representative or some advertising agency who comes out and tells them that, look, it's a matter of, it's not whether or not your ad draws any customers. It's a matter of getting the ad, getting your name and your company name and what you do out in front of them so you create top of mind awareness. Well, there's some truth to that, and there's some validity to what they say. But on the other hand, if an ad isn't going to work the first time or the second time, you know, keep running it over and over and over, running a loser ad isn't going to make it work either. So top of mind awareness is important, but also important and even more important is whether or not anybody's going to buy the thing that you're selling. So the idea then is to have a compelling offer, something that will attract people to your ad and then make a compelling offer so they'll want to learn more about what it is that you have to sell.
Martin.
Yes.
Getting back to the lifetime value of the customer and the importance of a business owner actually knowing what that value is, talk to us a little bit about how knowing the lifetime value of a customer can influence the way you treat and react and act toward your customers.
Well, if you know that a customer... If a customer, like we just mentioned before, a customer buys from you and they spend $200 with you, that customer is worth $200 to most business owners. But if you know what the lifetime value is, let's suppose that that customer buys from you four times during the year. On average, that's $800. And let's suppose that they stay with you for 5 years. Well, now you take that customer who buys one time at $200, and now he buys four times during the year, that's $800 times 5 years is $4,000. So if you know that customer, if I know that customer is worth $4,000 to me, but you think he's only worth $200 to you, we're going to both treat those customers a lot differently.
Right.
So that what I'm really saying here then is I'm going to do things, I'm probably going to be more proactive about doing things to keep that customer happy, keep them coming back, you know, maybe offering some additional services or something that somebody else might not offer who's in the same position as I. So I'm going to do everything I can to keep that customer happy because I know what the value of that customer is. Now, we've only talked about the first generation. We haven't even talked about referrals. If each one of our customers refers two people or three people during the year and those people are just like that person, all of a sudden that $4,000 customer becomes worth, if he refers three people, becomes worth $12,000 to us.
That's interesting. Martin, let's talk a little bit more about referral strategies and how business owners can use those to achieve breakthrough business success.
All right. Well, referrals are important. One of the things that most business owners do is, and this is so typical, and you'll find this in almost every business that you work with or any industry that you look at, and that is, the typical phrase is, by the way, who do you know who might benefit from the products or services that we sell? And that's the situation. That's a question that's been around for so long. And it's almost like the question that you get when you walk into a store and the clerk comes up to you and says, "Hi, may I help you?" You already have an answer that's built in. "No, thanks. I'm just looking."
Mm-hmm.
And so the same thing with that referral question. You know, do you know anybody who can, who you think might be able to benefit from the products or services that we sell? And the answer is, "No, I really can't think of anybody right now." Well, okay, if you can, well, please let me know. And that's the way it goes in almost any business that you look at. But there's a lot more effective ways to generate business through referrals. And it depends on the kind of a business that you're working with. Some businesses build referrals in as a condition of doing business with them. Others wait until they have established a relationship and they've earned that business. See, if you try to get referrals because you're selling on low price, it's going to be kind of difficult. What you need to do really is build some type of a reason for that person to want to refer you. And you have to earn that. We call it earn the right to referrals. And the E means you earn it. You do something that shows that customer, that client, that you deserve their referrals, that you have the right to ask them for referrals. And the A then is just to ask them. E stands for earn the right. And then A means you ask them. And then R stands for reward them. Do something for them. It doesn't have to be a cash reward. It can be maybe an additional product or service or a coupon or a discount certificate or something for an additional product or service that you sell. And then N, the N in our EARN formula, E-A-R-N, EARN stands for next. What can you do next? After you've done that and you've gotten a referral and rewarded them, what can you do next to keep that thing going, that cycle going? So there are a lot of things that business owners can do to generate referrals. But again, it depends on the type of business you have. If it's a service business or a retail business, and if they're customers who just come in and buy something and leave, like you might have in a department store, you might run that differently than if you were an insurance agent or a financial planner or an attorney or a CPA or something who works with people on a more personal or intimate level.
You know, on the topic of referral strategies, Martin, I've heard you a couple of times describe in detail a referral strategy that uses relationships with other service providers, such as accountants. You know which one I'm talking about?
I believe you use it when you teach your consulting students how to be consultants and how to find their customers starting off.
That's right, and I think this is so powerful. And if I'm not asking too much, you know, if you're not tipping, you know, tipping your cards too much here, I would love for you to share that concept with the people here, because I think that this can be used in so many different applications.
Well, I'll be glad to. And, you know, it really is a simple matter of who has your customers right now? Who is it that's doing business and has a relationship and has spent thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours developing and cultivating those relationships with those other customers, with their clients or customers, customers or clients of theirs that could be potentially ideal customers or clients of yours? Let's just take the case of our consultants as an example. When our consultants come through, one of the ways, the first questions they have is, how do I get started? And what we suggest is, why not look for businesses who are doing business with people that you would like to do business with? For instance, let's take a look at a CPA firm. And a CPA firm has a certain number of businesses that aren't going to come back and do business with them next year. And they know who they are, and they know why they're not coming back, because they handle their financial affairs and their taxes. And so why don't we sit down and write a letter for that CPA firm to send out to their clients? And here's the way the letter could go. You know, John, the other day I was thinking about what I could do to reward my good customers like you, customers who have been with me for a long time, customers who have helped me helped me build my business, because I really appreciate the things that you've done for me. I thought about sending you maybe some Blockbuster certificates or a movie pass or maybe buying dinner for you. But you know, once those things were used up, they're gone, out of sight, out of mind. And the other day I was talking to a business development consultant, and that person sat down with me and gave me three or four ideas that I could use in my business to literally turn my business around and make it very profitable. And I got thinking, aha, that's exactly what I could use to reward my good customers, my clients who have been with me for a long time. And so what I did is I picked up a handful of consultancy vouchers, 20-minute conversations that you can have with this business development consultant that can help you with your business and give you some ideas about your business to see what you could do to help it grow. Now, if you'd like to do business with that person, hey, wonderful. I've arranged to have a family price, a price that you couldn't get on your own if you approached that business consultant. On the other hand, if you say, you know, I appreciate the information and all the help you've given me here, but I don't think I'm interested in moving on, there's no obligation. You'll just pick up and move. And you won't have to worry about it. So what I've done is I picked up a handful of these certificates, these vouchers, and I still have a few of these left. And I was wondering if you'd like to have one of these so you could meet with that person and see if he could help your business. There's no obligation on your part. I'm underwriting the entire cost of it. So now underwriting just means that they're funding it in a certain kind of a way. They're not necessarily paying any money for it, but they've arranged with you, the business consultant,
mm-hmm.
to get that service offered for free. Now, what's the advantage? Well, the client has an advantage because they're getting some advice for their business, and they're not having to pay for it. And who's giving that advice? Well, the business consultant is, but where did it come from? It came from the consultant, it came from the CPA who referred them. So the thanks for that advice goes back to the CPA, and that helps establish and solidify that CPA's relationship with that business owner.
Right.
Of course, the consultant gains an advantage because he's put in front of somebody that he may never have an opportunity to get in front of on his own, but because he came in as an endorsement from that business owner, or rather from that CPA, he now has a certain amount of credibility that's built in, and he has an audience, a willing audience, somebody who's willing to listen to him. And of course, the CPA benefits because if that business owner is more successful in his business, he'll need more of the CPA's services. He'll stay with him longer, he'll pay his bills on time, and he'll refer other people to him. Well, let's suppose that he doesn't choose to work with that business owner, with that business consultant. That's okay. He's just established or solidified that relationship with that client. And so it's a win-win situation, whether the CPA's client goes with the business consultant or not. He still gets credit for it. And so it's a strategy that's very, very effective. And we use it with all kinds of businesses. Any kind of business that doesn't have to be a CPA, it could be a printer. Anybody who works business to business in the business to business market.
That is so simple, but so powerful. But it illustrates an important point, which is just a simple system like that. And the system is the key there. By having a system in place, a process which predictably and systematically brings you new people to talk to is so important. It doesn't have to be rocket science, but most people don't even take a simple step like that.
Well, they really don't, and they're missing out. You know, a lot of times people go into business because they know the product. They developed a product, they built a product, they put a product together, and because they've done that, they think that everybody is going to be, they think that they know all about how to run the business that sells that product and manufactures that product and gets it out into the marketplace. But I'll tell you, there's a huge difference between making and manufacturing and producing a product and actually running a business. Running a business has a lot to do with the efficiency and the effectiveness of the manufacturing and the acquisition and all the rest of that stuff and employee management, all those things. But there's a huge part of it out here, and that's the marketing part. If a business isn't marketed properly, then it doesn't matter what you've got in the back room. None of that really matters.
I saw a program over the weekend about a restaurateur trying to open up in New York, trying to open up a Caribbean bistro. And it went through like a month prior to his opening, and everything that that he went through, he was building furniture in his garage to the chairs and shelves and the actual bar itself. He was building in his garage. He was working on putting together his menu. He spent tons of time on his recipes and on what the menu looked like, and buying some equipment for the back room. But the two major things, in my opinion, that he left out as I'm watching the program, was he failed to create a system by which the food was prepared. He was just going to wing it. He was going to cook himself or maybe find someone to help him. There was no systematic process to create the food. But the biggest mistake he made was that on his grand opening, the day he first opened, he sat there and four people came to the restaurant that first day. And he looked at the camera and he says, "Oh, you know, I'm really upset. You know, it's not going too well. But that's okay," he says, "because we're getting ready to start the marketing." And he looks at the camera. He says, "We've created some flyers which we're going to hand out around the neighborhood." And I thought to myself, here's this guy, he spent $50,000 preparing to open this restaurant. Months of hard work and labor and emotionally draining effort to get to this point. And after the grand opening, he decides, "I'm going to start the marketing," which consists of handing out some flyers, which is equivalent to nothing. And it's just so very frustrating to see a business just like this, and we see it sadly on a very frequent basis because no system was put into place to acquire customers. Well, it was an afterthought.
Yeah, and see what you said there is so true. I mean, it's so commonplace. And if business owners would only approach their marketing as events and launches, things would be so much different. And there's so many things that you can do. We've instituted so many launches, and that's where the money is. You can make huge money if you look at your marketing as an event or as a launch. And what that really means is, take a look at it. There are certain things that you need to do before you put the boat in the water. You know, there's a pre-launch. There's all the stuff that you do ahead of time that creates an anticipation, a buzz, awareness about what's going on, some mystery, and you start building a list of people. You start building a preferred list, people who are, let's just suppose you're going to launch a restaurant like that. So what are the things that you would do? Well, there's a number of things. First of all, you want to take a look at the people who are most likely to come to your restaurant. Let's suppose you're in the suburbs, in a strip center someplace, and you want to put a restaurant in. Where would your market come from? Probably within a 3 to 5 mile radius. That's where the biggest bulk of your customers are going to come from. Unless you have something that's so unusual, a certain type of food that's so unusual that they might drive clear across town. But that isn't always the case, because there are so many different types of restaurants now and people have their favorites. So you're going to have to figure out, what can I do to create a buzz in this area? And where am I going to get my list of customers? Well, what kind of food do you have? What's the age range? You know, who's your target market? In some states, you can go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, and you can get the mailing list of people segmented by age in a certain area. So let's just say you want to pick up certain zip codes right around your office in a 3 to 5 mile radius. So now you know we're going to go pick up everybody who has who's 16 years. You're going to pick up everybody who's 16 years and older, because they've got that's where they have driver's licenses. So that's a good place to start. Now, why would you do that? Well, because you've got birthdays. So what's special about a birthday? Well, how about a special, a free dinner on your birthday, or a free appetizer, or a free something to get people in? People aren't going to come to a restaurant to buy something by themselves. They'll most likely bring somebody with them. And when they come, you're going to get full price on the other people that they brought with them, and you might sell some drinks or an appetizer or dessert that you might not normally have sold if they had to pay for the whole meal themselves. So there's a lot of things that you can do, but in the meantime, you start building a buzz, because you now have a list, a targeted list of people who are most likely to come to that. So that's what you do. And then on the grand opening, the way you set this thing up, and it could be the same for any business, you set it up to where there's some type of a special event, and people have heard about it, they've been thinking about it, they've got it on their calendar, don't miss this, and the next thing you know, you're flooded with people. And then your grand opening has to be extended. And that's what you want to do. You want to just keep that buzz going. Keep something going all the time. But it starts way before the actual opening of the restaurant. If you start when the restaurant's open, here's the sad thing. People go there for the grand opening, and there's 3 people in the restaurant. Well, that looks like a busy place, a popular place. They don't come back.
Yeah.
When you go for a grand opening, you want that place to be lined up outside the door.
Right.
Any kind of business. Like that.
You know, Martin, something I've witnessed you do now a couple of times, which I don't even know if you realize this, but it may be your greatest skill. And that is your ability to write a thank you note. And we've been fortunate enough to receive a couple from you in different forms, email, letter form. And I wondered if you'd, you know, I don't know if you've even ever thought about this, or if maybe it's just an innate ability that you have, but I wondered if you'd share some ideas about the importance, the impact, the power of thank yous, and some of in the way, the personal and intimate way in which you use it yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, thank you notes are really they're really overlooked and underplayed. That's probably one of the most important things a person can do to cultivate relationships with prospects or with customers, or try to reactivate previous customers, lost customers. It's so important, and so many people just skip right over that. and it's a sad thing. There are so many different kinds of notes, and I learned this a long, long time ago. So many different kinds of notes that you can write. And I try to carry a notepad. If I'm traveling, I try to carry a notepad with me, and not a notepad, but some note cards with me, and an address book. So I know that if I'm going to be on a plane, that's a perfect time to write notes. When you leave somebody's office, if you're a salesperson, you're leaving somebody's office, that's a perfect time to sit down and scratch out some notes. Because you've got some, you know, everything's fresh on your mind right then, and you'll know what you want to say to them. But I think really, when it comes to the thank you notes, I mean, there's thank you for the appointment, thank you for the interview. Although we didn't get your business, I really do appreciate the time you spent with me. Thank you for referring someone. Thank you for staying with us for a year. It's an anniversary type of thing. In our course, we teach how to do that. We have several different examples, just samples. All you have to do is basically just fill in the blanks on it. Just write what we have and put in your name or put in the name of the person and put in the product or service. And it's just a real simple type of a thing. But, you know, people so seldom get thank you notes from anybody anymore. That they, when they do get one, it's so unusual, and you stand out. And you know, we were all taught when we were small, young, to write thank you notes. You know, when you get married, you write thank you notes for the people who sent you or brought gifts to your reception. You write thank you notes to people who sent you something for your high school graduation. You send thank you notes when you get a birthday card or a birthday present or something. Those kinds of things, but we don't carry them over into our business life. And if a business owner would just sit down and take a minute, I mean, how long does it take? And if it's, you know, you slap a stamp on that thing and it's ready to go. And you could have some custom, little custom-made business cards that are real easy to put together and takes you just a couple of minutes and it's done. Just a handwritten note is one of the most powerful things that you could do to solidify a relationship or create a relationship with a prospect. And, you know, it isn't necessarily the prospect list that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's the relationship you have with that prospect list.
Mm-hmm.
If you can demonstrate over and over and over to your prospect that you are the kind of person that they would like to do business with, you're a thoughtful person, you're considerate, you're kind, you remember things, those kinds of things, that will do more for you than sending out these letter after letter after letter or postcard or hammer them with email and all that. So if you get a name, send them a thank you note. If you get an interview, send them a thank you note, whether you got the business or not.
Martin, on the topic of breakthrough business success, I can't think of a better person that I personally know to talk about success with, because, frankly, you're probably, you know, I'm scanning through my mind here, you are definitely in the top five of successful people that I personally know. You know, and you're so modest and so gracious and so kind, and just as you're spending your time with us right here. But the people listening need to know that Martin is a wildly successful man, almost embarrassingly so. And I won't talk about it past that, but just trust me on that. Would you agree that when it comes down to breakthrough business success, that what it's really about are doing simple things like this repeatedly and well, but it's not about ultra technical, ultra high end, ultra hard, rocket science level thinking. It's really simple things. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think people try to overcomplicate business. It's a matter of just doing the things that you know in your heart are right, and it's just treating people. You know, there's the old thing about the golden rule, and the golden rule is great. It's a wonderful thing, and I don't mean to take anything away from the scriptures or anything else. But you know, there's what's now called the platinum rule. You know, and the platinum rule, you know, the golden rule says, "Do unto others as you would be done unto." Okay, the platinum rule says, "Do unto others as they need or they want to be done unto." And what that really means is, Travis, you may like chocolate chip cookies, and not oatmeal cookies, but I like oatmeal cookies. And if you do something nice for me, I send you oatmeal cookies. The thought's nice. But that isn't what you wanted. You would have much rather had oatmeal cookies. You would much rather had chocolate chip cookies. You
mm-hmm.
see? So do unto others the way they want to be done unto. And
you've
you'll
never
go,
heard
you'll,
that.
Yeah, that's it'll be much. You'll go much farther. See? So how do you want to be done unto? Well, that's a matter again of coming back and understanding who your client is.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your prospect? Who is your client? What do they want? What are their needs? What are their desires? What are the things that makes them unique? And if I can cater to those needs, man, look at the advantage that I have in the marketplace. But if I try to treat everybody the same, you know, I've got 6 children, 17 grandchildren. I'll tell you, you can't treat them all the same. You and your own kids, you know. It just doesn't work. So find out what's unique to them, what they like, what they want. And man, they'll have meat out of your hands.
Is that really, it comes down to that simple equation always, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Give people what they want, and it's a lot easier to sell it to them, isn't it?
Yeah, see, here's the problem. We go in trying to sell people what they need.
Okay.
People don't buy what they need. They buy what they want. And all you have to do is look around and say, do you really need that Mercedes? Or is that what you wanted? You really need to live in that kind of a house? Do you need those kind of clothes? Do you need to eat that in that restaurant? Or is that what you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
See, just look at what people wear, what they drive, what they eat, how they live. You'll see very quickly that they don't buy what they need. They buy what they want. You could probably get around in a 62 Volkswagen that's all rusted out. That'd get you around. That's not what you want. That's not the image that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sell people what they want and then turn around and give them what they need.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be like
now, how do you know what the
encyclopedias
see,
with the big screen TV.
Yeah, now, exactly. See, here you have a person who says, you say, what do you want out of your business? I want more customers. Well, let's sit down and talk about that. I'm going to sell him more customers. You know what I'm going to give him? I'm going to give him what he needs. Now, how am I going to find that out? Because I go through 40 pages of questions, and I get into his business. I get into his head. I find out what the problem is. I find out where the greatest areas of opportunity is. Where can we get the biggest windfall profits right now? Profits right now we can put in the bank. And then where can we get continuing, ongoing, steady streams of income that come in month after month after month after month?
Mm-hmm.
See, he didn't know that because what he was looking at is more customers. And I was looking at, okay, we've got a girl over here. We have a lady who's working in the business, and she's making $20 an hour. But guess what she's doing? She's answering the phone. She's doing $6 an hour work. No good. Let's take that $6 an hour. Let's get a $6 an hour person and put them there. And let's take the $20 an hour person and put them someplace else. And let's delegate every task we have down to the lowest level of competence possible. The lowest level of competence. What does it take to answer the phone? Not $20, $6.
Mm-hmm.
See? Unless that's where the sales are made. If sales are made there, then we need to have somebody else there. See? So we start looking at various things like that we can do to improve the business, and are not difficult to do. But the business owner didn't see that. What he saw was more customers. And we said, look, we can get more efficiency out of your business. If we get more efficiency, that's going to translate into more profits for you. See? Business isn't a game of numbers. It's a game of margins. How do we increase the margins in our business? The margin is the difference between what we pay for something and what we sell it for. And when I say what we pay for it, now I'm not only talking about the cost of the product itself, but the cost of operations. What does it cost us to run that business versus versus the gross revenues that we generate? So that we look at the entire picture on that.
Gotcha. Now, Martin, there may be some people on the phone here who, listening to this CD, who may be interested in your coaching program. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your coaching program and how, if someone is interested, they can move forward or contact you about it.
Well, thank you very much. We do have a couple of things that are happening right now. First of all, we have our business consulting program where somebody wants to become a business development consultant or marketing consultant, is another way to put it, although we do more than just marketing, as I've mentioned previously. But what we do is we take people who are interested in getting out of the corporate rat race, or maybe they sold a business, or they're thinking about selling their business, or they'd like to use the business experience, the sales experience, the management experience that they have to teach other businesses how to run their businesses. Now, you've been in many businesses yourself, both of you have, where you look at a business and you say, my golly, look at the money they're leaving on the table. If they would only do this different or that different. If they would make this little change or that little change, if they could do something that changed what they're doing, they could pick up tons of money. I see them leaving money all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it yourself when you walk into the store. We've talked about this.
Yep,
may I help you? No, I'm just looking. Fine, if you need me, I'll be over here. And then you walk out of the store not buying anything. After the business owner has spent thousands and thousands of dollars in the Sunday paper with full-color circulars to get you to come into the store. You walked out buying nothing. So the point is here, we show people how to go into businesses and find those situations and how to correct them, and they make big money doing it. I'll tell you, this is probably the highest paid business skill that a person can acquire, and that is consulting with other businesses, because so many businesses out there are hurting and they don't know what to do about it. The business owners are very frustrated because they don't know how to manage or run the business. So that's the first thing we do. And we have people that are making in the six figures in the first 90 days in that business. Very, very profitable for them. And so we have almost 500 consultants now in 24 countries. So we're moving very rapidly in that area. If it's a business owner who's interested in learning how to grow their business and doesn't want to hire a consultant and wants a program that will teach them how to do this themselves, we have another one that we call it our Ultimate Small Business Profit Acceleration System. And that's a course that we put together that helps business owners actually become their own consultant. So we have it on two levels, and it is very, very effective for us.
Well, the material that you present, the curriculum in your program, is top-notch, the finest grade available.
Thank you.
We put our personal recommendation and approval on it. So, Martin, how can somebody get in touch with you to learn more about this information?
Well, the easiest thing to do is, there are two things, actually. I'd be happy to talk with anybody about this who is interested, and they can contact me via email at martin@toplinebusinesssolutions. That's topline, T-O-P-L-I-N-E, businesssolutions.com. Or they can pick up the phone and call me on my direct line at 480-969-1738. And just mention that that you heard about this on the CD or through Jimmy and Travis. And what I'll do is I'll make a very special report available to you that will give you more information on growing your business or on becoming a consultant, either one, as you wish.
Martin, thank you. We really appreciate you doing that, something special for our listeners here. And I know they would really appreciate it as well.
Well, I can't thank you enough for spending your time with us here. As I've told you before, any time that we get to spend with you in person or on the phone is always like a marketing workshop or seminar for us, and we generally take pages of notes. So,
well, thank you very much. How kind of you. That's so nice of you to say that.
I appreciate the opportunity for you to be with you here and for you to share your information with our members and listeners here. And just want to thank you so much. And just been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Likewise with me as well.
Thank you, Martin.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.